Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch and travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Including tonight, well, a red-letter day for alleviating poverty on the Isle of Man. Keep Tynwald debates inside Tynwald, says the president of Tynwald. No Syrian refugees will be invited to the Isle of Man. Yes, there were dozens of Santas in Douglas today. And is Douglas Prom cracking up, and government support for business on the Prom as well?
Man Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
29 minutes to 6. First of all, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Ed Oldham.
Fastamai. Just 7 businesses on Douglas Promenade have applied for compensation from government to help mitigate the adverse effects of the ongoing refurbishment works on the highway. Members of the Tynwald Committee scrutinising the project and MHKs for the area, Chris Robertshaw and Claire Barber, both stood to voice deep concerns that not enough was being done to help the businesses worst affected. The boss of a well-known motor business in Foxdale has admitted drink driving. 46-year-old Peter Anthony Bettridge appeared before magistrates at Douglas Courthouse. And there's to be a crackdown on people claiming free prescriptions, which they are not entitled to. 90% of medicines are dispensed free of charge on the island. Further afield, a 19-year-old man has been found guilty of murdering a schoolboy from a rival London gang. Jaden Moody, who was 14, was dealing drugs in Leighton in January when he was knocked off a moped by a stolen car and then stabbed 9 times. The EU's chief negotiator has privately admitted that Brexit trade deals can't be finished in Boris Johnson's timeframe of the end of 2021. The Independent's got hold of a leaked recording of Michel Barnier saying it's unrealistic. And poultry farmers are being warned to check for signs of bird flu after 27,000 chickens had to be culled in Suffolk. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with news in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or follow us on Facebook. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Ed. From Ronald's Way Met Office, there's a strong wind warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On the Isle of Man, dry with a fresh west-southwesterly through the night. 4 degrees, the overnight minimum temperature. For Thursday, Jordan, rain first, then continuing through the rest of the day. Some of it heavy and certainly on a strong southeasterly, up to 8 degrees. Tomorrow, dry overnight, Thursday into Friday, minimum temperature 6 degrees. And for Friday, Jahenya, sunny intervals, scattered showers on a strong west-northwesterly, up to 8 degrees. Sunrise Thursday morning, 28 minutes past 8. Low water was about 20 minutes ago. High water's at 11 o'clock tonight, low water 16 minutes past 5 in the morning, and Thursday morning's high water at 13 minutes past 11.
Season's greetings to all our customers from everyone at Manx Glass and Glazing, and thank you for your custom and support throughout the year.
The Speaker of the House of Keys has heralded yesterday, Tuesday, as a red letter day for the Isle of Man as the first report of his committee on poverty was accepted by Tynwald. Along with Tanya August Hansen, MLC, and Jason Morehouse, MHK, Juan Watterson has constructed a document which plots definitions and data about poverty on the Isle of Man. But after the sitting, Mr. Watterson told Manx Radio's Dolan Mercer the work just lays the foundations for action to combat and alleviate poverty.
What we've found is there's been plenty of actions over the years, but very little justification as to why we've started in one place or another. So that this is the foundation. As much as you get a definition, you find out how many people are affected by all the different issues. What we've then identified is our way forward, which is looking at thematic approaches to see some of the complexity, some of the real life stories that sit under this. Is the benefits system really fit for purpose, and what can we do to improve that? To what extent are educational and life chances intrinsically linked with poverty, and how do we support those, and whether we're doing the right thing in those areas? And looking at it with the person at the centre and seeing whether the services really are responding to individual need, or whether we are just in some cases pushing people from pillar to post, from service to service, which isn't really acceptable.
We saw an amendment from the Treasury Minister to see the Social Affairs Policy Review Committee take the lead in terms of the sort of scrutiny side. How do you see policy being led from government?
We felt there should be a single point of accountability. The amendment decides that that single point of accountability is the chairman of the Social Policy and Children's Committee of the Council Ministers. That's a good thing. So this just clarifies who's going to actually be responsible for providing it.
We've seen lots of time and resources put into your committee to develop this work. We've also seen time and resources from the Council of Ministers with their Cold, Hunger and Homelessness report. We've also seen time and resources from Public Health with their work about equality in society. Is there a perception there's some overlap here?
Well, I think what we found is that we're all of very similar mind at the end of the day. So the Director of Public Health has an independence to her role and the work that she does. That's absolutely right. We are there to make sure that government policy is effective, efficient, and doing what we think is the taxpayers would want with it.
But is this overly trodden ground now?
No, I don't think this would be ground that would be sufficiently trod at all had the committee not been set up in the first place. Holding government's feet to the fire about the way that they're spending money, the priorities that they have, and whether that is truly evidence-based policy is the important first step, and one that we'll be pursuing as we go forward.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
The Tynwald president had a message today for two MHKs. Tynwald members must make sure debates take place in court and not in the media. The message from the Tynwald president, Steve Roden, following a motion on national insurance at this month's sitting. Douglas East's MHK, Chris Robertshaw, and Treasury Minister Alfred Cannon, MHK, traded blows in interviews with Manx Radio ahead of the sitting. The president addressed the court after Mr. Robertshaw's motion failed to carry.
Exchanges of this sort between politicians are nothing new. But I would just take the opportunity to make a general point. Members should be mindful that when matters are tabled to be subject of discussion in Tynwald, the proper place for argument and debate is Tynwald Court itself.
Absolutely agree.
And members should be careful not to preempt that debate ahead of time. And this applies whether it's parliamentary motions or questions put down for either Tynwald or the branches. Of course, when motions and questions are published on the order paper ahead of the sitting, they immediately enter the public domain and naturally become subjects of political interest and public discussion and, of course, of legitimate media interest. And it would not be at all reasonable, desirable, or even practical, therefore, to expect a period of radio silence or no comment or discussion on such matters yet to come before Tynwald. And I'm not suggesting this. But by being mindful to strike the right balance and not to actually preempt the debate that is in fact to come, this will avoid any risk of it being thought disrespectful to the court or to other members.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
It's 22 minutes ahead of 6 now.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bamber crew left Heysham at 2:08 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas about 6 o'clock any time now, leaving back for Heysham at 7:45 this evening and nosing into the port at about 11:30 tonight. Everything seems to be as it should be, weather notwithstanding. The Steam Packet's only craft at the moment is Bamber crew. The fast craft Mananan is tied up alongside the pier down below Manx Radio. The Mananan will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool on March 27th, 2020. The first sailing of the year to Dublin scheduled for March 28th and for Belfast is April the 8th. If you think 2020 seems a long way away, it's 3 weeks today.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com. Manx Radio's Business Briefing. powered by Y Manx.
News from Ramsey. The chairman of Ramsey Town Commissioners, Andy Cowie, has been visiting some of the new or expanding businesses in Ramsey in the run-up to Christmas. He went to Serendipity and Natural Beauty and Accessories in St Paul's Square, who recently reopened. At Ramsey Art Gallery, Mr Cowie congratulated the owners of the gallery on celebrating 30 years of trading as a popular family business in the town. He was also able to see firsthand the investment which Ramsey Park Hotels, Dave's Delicious Diner and the Cool Bar have made during recent refurbishment works. Then he was off to Pure Inspiration, celebrating after being awarded the Best In-Store and Window Display at the Great Gifts Retailer Awards 2019. And finally, it's all happening in Ramsey. Called to the farmers market to congratulate them on the success they've enjoyed in the courthouse and thank them for the town's appeal on busy Saturdays. Mr. Cowie said it's fantastic to see Ramsey flourishing, particularly in the busy run-up to Christmas and in the face of discouraging news from the high street in many areas of the UK. Well done to Ramsey. News from Africa now with Johannesburg. In an opinion piece, the CEO of Rand Merchant Bank has written in the Business Day newspaper that South Africa must move quickly to salvage its status as an investment destination and breathe life into the struggling economy. James Formby says South Africa is rapidly becoming a forgotten country and has stopped being talked about as an investment destination. Symbolically, it's no longer five to midnight, says Mr. Formby. It's midnight. South Africa can't afford to wait any longer to turn things around. Implementing greater fiscal discipline, dealing with corruption, providing a stable supply of electricity, and easing labour laws are among the major challenges South Africa must address. But the government's struggling to find consensus on the best way forward because of ideological differences and factions within the ruling party. Mr. Formby reckons the best place to start is with the state-owned power utility Eskom Holdings, which itself is riddled with debt and struggling to keep the lights on in South Africa. Goldman Sachs has named Eskom as South Africa's biggest threat.
WiMAX, technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today.
18 minutes to 6 on Update.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks traded cautiously as investors awaited the American Federal Reserve's interest rate decision and monitored developments ahead of the UK general election. American stocks rose slightly as investors waited to hear the Fed's latest decision on monetary policy. The US dollar was unchanged against a basket of major currencies as FX markets brace for a host of events, including the central bank meetings in the US and Europe, the UK general election, and the key deadline for US-China trade talks. Oil prices fell after industry data showed unexpected build in crude inventory in the US. Gold rose as a deadline for an additional round of US tariffs on Chinese imports loomed. In corporate news, the equipment rental firm Ashtead was higher, recovering from heavy losses in the previous session. JD Sports Fashion was under the cosh following a report that its largest shareholder, Pentland, had sold off a stake in the sportswear retailer. And the travel company TUI was in the red after saying that its dividend payouts were likely to be lower under a new capital allocation policy that takes effect in the current financial year. At the close, the FTSE 100 was up very slightly at 7,216, and the DAX in Frankfurt up 0.5% at 13,146. Just after 5 o'clock in New York, the Dow Jones down 0.1% at 27,840, the NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 0.5% at 8,634. In Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.1% at 3,135. On the exchange markets, the pound is worth $1.317 and €1.18.7. And in the world of commodities, gold is up 0.5% at $1,471 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 1% at $63.50.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's Update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
16 minutes to 6 on Update on Manx Radio. Tynwald members could have been forgiven for feeling a sense of déjà vu today as the topic of Syrian refugees arose in the court once more. GARF MHK Daphne Kane wanted to see a committee established to look at the pros and cons of the island accepting a small number of Syrian refugees. So in a fundamental way, it's a debate we've seen before. Last time the vote was close, with Keys voting 11-10 against setting up a committee. This time the debate was sparked by a petition set up by a group of students from Ballacameen High School. The vote this time was less close. Keys voted 14-8 against the proposal. Afterwards, Manx Radio's Dolan Mercer asked Mrs. Kane if she was disappointed with what she'd heard.
I think I was disappointed for the students. I feel that perhaps I let them down. Happily, after the sitting, I had a chat with about half a dozen who managed to stay in for the whole debate, and they were very pleased with how the debate had gone. And although the final vote was disappointing, I think we flushed out an awful lot of what ifs.
The Chief Minister's comments about the Council of Ministers having done lots of the work already, to paraphrase, there seemed to be a feeling among some members that they weren't aware of that.
No, I think we are aware of it. I certainly was given the 8-page document last year. I think it is available on the website if you can manage to find it and track it down. Still not confidential, last time I looked. But that's from the government perspective, and it's very much dismissive. No, we can't do this, and we're not a sovereign state, so we mustn't do that, and we're not going to talk or...
He was implying that members had been bringing motions, thoughts, arguments to the court without having done the background.
Well, I think that's a little bit insulting, because obviously backbenchers have a huge amount of issues to research. And I have to say, you know, the students who brought the petition are particularly well informed of the particular issues to do with Syrian refugees and the current situation. And I think we all salute the previous efforts and the funding made available from the international aid budget from the Isle of Man. But when I was saying we should step up that effort, if it's possible, instead of providing shelter, blankets, household items, what about providing houses to a small number of Syrian refugees?
Do you think it's a topic which will come up again?
Well, I think the community keeps bringing it back, and people have very strong opinions one way or the other. But I think in terms of the best use of our international aid funding, if there is a real drive from certain members of the community that could be spent better, perhaps investing on actual individuals to resettle here and give safety and education. And that can also bring a lot to our communities.
Manx Radio Sport.
13 minutes to 6 with Chris Cave.
Fastamai, good evening. Backers B beat Backers A on penalties to win the Rossborough Insurance Indoor Men's Premiership final. Elsewhere, Vikings A overcame Valkyries A in the Ladies' Premiership, and Backers A claimed the plaudits in the top division of the mixed format. A narrow 7-6 victory handed Ramsey the title in Men's Division 1, while Saracen's season ended with success in Mixed Division 1, beating Vikings C 12-6 in the final. Manx cyclist Tom Mazzoni believes team chemistry is key to success ahead of the 2020 season. It follows the announcement he'll be riding for Vitus Pro Cycling next year. He'll ride alongside the likes of Adam Kenway, Joe Nally and Stephen Bradbury. And Mazzoni feels it's important to understand the mindset of your teammates.
For me, personally, it's about kind of natural instinct and stuff like that. So if you can kind of gel well as a team, and in the finish of these big races, you can almost know what your teammate is thinking. And if you think the same way and kind of work as a solid unit, there's definitely more chance of pulling off the win.
Further afield, Jose Mourinho has dismissed suggestions that he doesn't help develop younger players. The Tottenham boss has been regularly criticised throughout his career for not bringing through inexperienced talent into the first team. But ahead of his side's Champions League match against Bayern Munich this evening, Mourinho cited Scott McTominay of Manchester United and Real Madrid's Rafael Varane as examples of why that's wrong. And Tommy Seymour has become the second player to retire from international rugby union with Scotland in the past 7 days. The winger has announced his decision off the back of former captain John Barkley opting to step away from his national team last Thursday. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
And remember, for the most comprehensive source of current Manx news, interviews and features, and the largest store of Manx Radio videos, plus MTTV, Culture Vannin and Manx National Heritage, go to manxradio.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to Manx Radio's YouTube channel.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Here's what's happening across the Isle of Man. Currently, the metric signs aren't showing anything untoward apart from exhorting you not to drink and drive. In Ramsey, Ballure Bridge is closed. Well, it has a temporary 24-hour two-way traffic signal for bridge repair, so it's closed, then it's open, then it's closed. The main road in Colby has temporary 24-hour three-way traffic signals for highway drainage work. King Edward Road in Onchan, to Gravel that is, temporary three-way 24-hour traffic signals for railway works. The usual stuff, temporary closure of Churchill Rental Hill Junction in Laxey around Glen Road because of the flooding problems earlier on this year. Laxey is open for business during the closure as well. Kirk Road, St John's, the Foxtoe Road at St John's is closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Lord Street in Douglas, still one-way traffic scheme and closure of surrounding roads and footpaths at various times during the regeneration works. Peel Road in Douglas, you can see an enormous piece of land there where the Athol Garage used to be. It's completely flattened there. There's a temporary closure of the footway from number 41 Peel Road to the former Wool Control Centre. All the information on trains, boats, buses, roadworks and Douglas Promenade is at manxradio.com. The Prom's got its own website at myprom.im. And at manxradio.com, there's a community tab to a page of links to 18 webcams across the Isle of Man. At the airport, everything's coming in slightly ahead of time. Of course, there were problems with Liverpool Airport earlier on today with the skidding off of that private jet. The 10 past four departure to Liverpool left at 5:20. The 10 past 5 to London City left just before 5:30, and the 5:25 Dublin left slightly ahead of time. No problems at the moment indicated for later departures to Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick, although the Liverpool will have to see.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145. Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
A Freedom of Information request to the Manx government had made publicly available the reports and investigations made into the cracking of the concrete laid on the Douglas Promenade works. Details of as to where you can find that in a moment. It is at manxradio.com. But it's fun to look at. At the same time, the government's been detailing support given to businesses along the seafront who said they've been hit hard by the scheme. It came in tinwald as Douglas Promenade's support scheme was presented to members. Two MHKs who questioned the amount of support offered were Claire Barber and Chris Robertshaw. Manx Radio's John Moss asked first Mr. Robertshaw his view of the value of what the government was offering.
Well, we're not sure what that is yet, do we? We've got to see it actually in practice in relation to a particular business. But the point that I particularly emphasised was the engagement of accountants, the responsibilities that they've got related to the amount of money available, the ability for a business to know how long this project's going to run for when there's no certainty there. At the moment it's very, very opaque. We have supported the scheme in principle, but we'll, as a committee, as Claire will explain to you, we're going to watch it very, very carefully
indeed.
Both
of you were in animated conversation with the Chief Minister at the end there. Did it help you at all in your problems?
No.
What were you talking about, if I can
ask?
Well,
it was a private conversation between ourselves and the Chief Minister. He's concerned about our response, but right from the get-go, we've had a whole series, a myriad of problems down there, and you can understand that we're getting more and more concerned.
Can I just ask, one of the problems you cited was the cracking of the concrete, which was dismissed as a minor problem by one of the members of the department. Would you agree with that?
I think it's, as Mr. Robertshaw gave a helpful interjection there, that it's about what your definition of minor is. Certainly the report that I've seen that was released via a Freedom of Information request, actually 23rd of September, that's not been shared with the members. It's the first I've seen of it, actually, was when someone sent me it on Messenger. That report goes into detail around some of the potential problems that those cracks could lead to.
Will they have to be redone? will the work have to be redone as far as you're aware?
It's unclear at this point, but that is a possibility. It certainly hasn't been ruled out. It talks of potential remedial works, and until 12 months from the initial casting of that concrete has passed and they can measure those cracks, because that will be the point at which the maximum contraction has happened, they can't make a call on that. So to dismiss it at this point as minor, I think, is crass.
You're close to this. Have you any idea when this is going to finish, when the work's going to be done?
Well, goodness me, I was talking about crystal balls today, and I haven't got a clue. I'm, you know, take you back to Claire's comments about the possible remedial works where lines may have to be taken up after a year, where they're shown not to be settling properly because of the failures in the way the concrete was laid in relation to the lines in the first instance. And it really does cause deep concern, and it must do to the businesses. I mean, it would be horrific if that actually happened and we had to go back to square one again.
How close are businesses to giving up the ghost?
I think there are some businesses that are absolutely, you know, on the line in terms of their viability. Certainly there's businesses where we've spoken to people who've made every adjustment they possibly can to keep their business going. But there will come a point where if there's a delay over the granting of money through this scheme, if they're ineligible for the money in this scheme, which is something that we've raised our concerns around, they simply won't be able to continue trading. And we will start to see businesses shutting doors.
Chris Robertshaw and Claire Barber, MHKs, and it's serious. There are 8 indices on the reply to the question about why the concrete has failed, and you can go to maxradio.com for details of how to get to the actual services.gov.im freedom of information release. 8 indices. It goes on and on and on, and of course Max Radio will keep you up to date with the state of Douglas Promenade. Congratulations to the winners of the Santa Dash that took place in Douglas earlier on today. Rachel Franklin and Jack Ockel were winners. And there was another winner, this time in New York. She's 16 but looks younger, wears her light brown hair pulled into 2 braids parted in the middle. She has Asperger's syndrome, which means she doesn't operate on the same emotional register as many of the people that she meets. And today, she became Time Magazine's Person of the Year, the youngest ever, the 16-year-old from Stockholm who's mobilised millions of people to fight climate change and condemned leaders in action. Greta Thunberg is Time Magazine's Person of the Year at 16 years of age, the youngest. That's it for Update. There'll be another Thursday evening at 5:30. Updates compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, thanks to our newsreader, Ed Oldham, and producer, Sarah Hendy. I'm Andy Wynn. Have a good Wednesday evening.